you, man. Love you. I'm so honored.
You just set that back. Let's do it again, partner.
Thank you.
Oh.
Hey, while I'm sitting down here, and I'll tell you a little bit about me as I'm doing this. Hey, I'll tell you while I'm sitting down here, I said it earlier, you see these, some camo socks. Every time I come and preach, this is kind of silly, but it's the truth. One of the ways that I remind myself that of what the importance of this role is that I wear camo because I want to remind myself that I'm in the Lord's army, and when I stand up here to preach to you all, it is truly me engaging in spiritual warfare on our behalf to push back the powers of darkness so that the people of God can prevail and move forward in this place anew and afresh, empowered and in might and in strength. And we're going to talk about today with courage. With courage. Pastor Dennis, I love you. Thank you so much for washing my feet. That was definitely not expected. I would have painted my toenails. I know that's what you were hoping to see to embarrass me, but it wasn't happening. But listen, honestly, let me just say this to you guys. I'm so honored. I'm so excited to be a part of what God is doing here. I'm so happy to see you. We've been praying for you. We've been thinking about this moment. We've been praying for this day. We have had a lot of emotions that's kind of come up in our family. I know you may have had a lot of emotions come up in your family as we have set and got ready for today. And I'm so excited. I believe that this is going to be one of the sweetest points and times and seasons of ministry that at least our family has felt in quite a long time. And quite honestly, if I'm just going to be vulnerable with you, really have needed. I didn't know exactly all to say today, but so I thought I'd just continue in our series that we've been doing, Made for More. And our series, Pastor Dennis kicked it off. He's been talking about knowing God more, correct, over the last 2 weeks and what that looks like. The entire series is really built on Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Here's the scripture if you don't know it. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation and his suffering, becoming like him in his death. If we're all honest, and I know we are, there are things, there's tweaks and changes that we need to make in our lives so that we can become more like Jesus. Pastor Dennis, as I mentioned, has been talking about how to know Christ more, know God better, and I'm going to be talking about today how to live more like Christ, and then we're going to wrap up this series in a couple weeks with how to love more like Christ. Let me tell you something, though, about me as it relates to my preaching, okay? I love to preach. It's one of the things that I've spent a lot of my time trying to learn how to do better. As I promise you, as the days come go forward and go move along, I'll get better at preaching, so don't you worry about that. But one of the things that I want you to see and I want you to know about me is that when I preach God's word, I'm not doing a presentation. Okay, this isn't me just up here having research this week and trying to sought after the Lord for me to come and just regurgitate something to you that I felt God laid on my heart. This is a time that I want us to interact together with the living, breathing word of Jesus Christ. And when we interact with the living, breathing word, we don't walk away unchanged, but we walk away having been affected by the word of God himself. And so when we come together, I want us to look at this as us diving headfirst into the of God's word, and I want us to respond to what God is saying. It's okay if you say amen. It's okay if you say oh me. It's okay if you say oh my. It's okay if you clap. It's okay if you stand up. It's okay if you do a little bit of shouting. I don't mind that, but I do mind us not opening our heart to what God may have to say. The reason we come here, the reason I came here, is because I want to be on mission for Jesus Christ, and I believe that God has rallied my family here so that we as a people can live out the purpose that God has for us here, which is to make disciples and take ground by the power of the gospel in this place. Okay? Good. There we go. Let me tell you a little bit about my family. You probably care about that more than me. And I'll tell you about one of the routines that we have as a family. Okay? I can barely see the blue thing. So if I get anywhere near 10:30, somebody just let me know. Okay? One of the things that we do as a family is we have a bedtime routine, and part of our bedtime routine is this. We come together. We look at a small section of Scripture. I might say one word or one sentence of Scripture. I may read a chunk of Proverbs. We may look at something. I may just give them a thought. We then pray, and then we sing a song that is not a Christian song. It's just something we made up, all right? And then we go to bed. We'll sing the song another time, not this morning. I want you to keep me. So we read, we pray, and then we sing. Well, one of the things that we've been doing as a family during our nighttime routine is we've been trying to get our kids to understand that God is doing something new in our lives. And our kids already understand that. How many of you know that kids understand and feel what's going on in mommy and daddy's world? You know what I'm saying? And so they'd already been feeling something. And so my son Max and I, we were in his bed, in his laying down, and we had prayed, and we'd read through Proverbs. And if you have an 8-year-old son, reading through the first several chapters of Proverbs can be tough to go through because I got a lot of questions about a lot of different things. But we got to the point, I was trying to push us through there, and I said, buddy, I just want to let you know that I think God is talking to us about moving our family to Missouri. And one of the things that he had, and of course he had a lot of questions to ask, like, you know, one, where is that? And I said, hey, you know, it's near Mimi and Poppy, and which is my in-laws. They're incredible. They're right down here. You guys make sure you say hey to them before the end of the day. But I said, it's near Mimi and Poppy. It's going to be this neat place. They got go-karts. They got all sorts of fun things to do there. You're going to have an incredible time. But I just want you to know, I want you to be praying for us as we are trying to discern what is it that God is saying to us about moving to Missouri. And one of the things that I just need to be open and honest with you is that we as a family have kind of went through a lot, okay? How many of you understand that ministry is tiring? Okay? And one of the things that's been true for us as a family is we've been tired in ministry, not necessarily tired of ministry. There's a big difference in being tired in ministry and tired of ministry. And we've been tired. And so he had a lot of questions about what does it look like as we step into this new role together. And we began to talk a little bit, he just stopped and he looked at me. He said, well, Dad, I think we need to do it, but we better start praying right now for courage. I said, wow, Max, you know, that's pretty wise of you. I mean, tell me more about that. He said, Dad, you know, like the Wizard of Oz. What? Like the Wizard of Oz. We're just lions that needs for someone to remind us of our courage. And tears started coming down my face because I knew he was right. And when I was praying about what to say to you all, that kept coming over and over and over into my mind about courage. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, what do you want me to share? And the Lord said, the thing that I've been doing in you is the thing you need to share to them. And the Lord revealed to me two things. If we're going to overcome our habits and hurts and hangups to step into all that God has for us personally, then we're going to have to exercise some courage to move out of situations that haven't been helpful, but maybe have been familiar. And the second thing he said to me was this, if we're going to accomplish together the plan that he has for us to advance the gospel and grow God's kingdom here and to the other uttermost places that we don't even know about, then some of us need to start living with courage. And so this morning, we're going to continue in our series, and we're going to talk about Made for More Courage. Since this is my first sermon here, this serves as kind of a transition of leadership of some sort. And so what I thought that I would do is we would look to God's word and also look at a story in God's word of transition of leadership from a guy named Moses to a guy named Joshua, and what that meant for Joshua, the new leader, but specifically what that meant for the people of God that Joshua would be leading. Okay, here is the sentence, I guess the phrase that we're going to build on. To live out our purpose, we must act out our courage. To live out our purpose, we must act out our courage. If you're taking notes, make sure you write that down. I just want to say this to you. One of the things that you can do to help advance the gospel in this place is to, the notes and the things that you take here, find a way to share that with someone that you know. Whether it be on social media, whether it be a phone call that you need to make, maybe it's a conversation you have in the days to come. But make sure that as we're walking together as a people, let's continue pointing each other back to God's word, but let's use the word that God is sharing with us as a people to also encourage those that we know that's in our path to help them further along in their journey. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to get to God's word, and we're going to start digging through in Joshua chapter 1. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you're good, you're gracious, you're just wonderful, Lord. And Lord, I'm emotional. I got my nose is running from getting my feet washed. Lord, you know I didn't think about that. But Lord, and you're already upstream, and you got some Kleenexes here on the stage for me, and I appreciate that. But Lord, the reason that we're here right now is not to hear from me, but it's to hear from you. And so, God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that's in me and that's running amok in this room right now. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you encourage us? Would you fill us to the point that when we would leave this place, that we would leave differently? Lord, the wise men in the Old Testament, right as you were coming into the world, when they came and they saw you, Father, what's interesting about the story is that those that were considered wise even left on a different route after they encountered you. And so, God, I pray right now that although we have come, that, Father, we would leave differently. That we would have heard from you, that it would have changed our perspective, our mindset, Lord, and that we would walk away changed. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Move in this place. Have your way among us. Father, if I say something that's not true of you, would you change it in midair? For your people to hear exactly what you want them to hear. Lord, this is all for you. Everything we do is because of your grace and your mercy and your goodness to not only us as a church, but to this community as a people. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up to Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, I think we're going to have it on the screen for you. Again, we're going to be reading Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 6. The way I preach is I begin to read a little bit of scripture. I stop. I talk about it. I read some more scripture. I stop. We talk about it. And I read some more scripture. We talk, stop and talk about it. And then we run out of time and I say, hey, high five. Okay? And so that's what we're going to do. Right now, as you're turning, I'm going to catch us up with what's going on in God's word. And just since I haven't been here, I thought that we would step all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created, right, the heavens and the earth. God created Adam and Eve, and they were his people. They took care of things. They had babies, and ultimately, they ate a piece of fruit that was against what God had asked them to do, and they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. It had to be a pink lady apple because I cannot imagine anything else more delicious that they would just choose to be disobedient to the Lord. But they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and ultimately what that did was it set kind of a snowball effect of sin moving forward in the life of the people. The sin of the people that had inhabited the world became so great that although God used to have a people, i.e. Adam and Eve, the sin had really pushed people further and further from God. Sin filled the earth. It broke God's heart. So he established a covenant with a guy named Abram. Remember the story? And the whole point was so that God could reestablish for himself a people who would embody his name, embrace his mission, and that he could save to be of those himself. You follow me? Well, Abraham started his little family, okay? And they begin to grow, but how many of you understand that when hard things come, if you have little babies at home, it can make it even harder? Right? And so what took place was Abraham was leading out. The people of God were doing okay. They were growing in the relationship with God. But all of a sudden, a famine hit, and the people went crazy because they didn't know what to do. They were hungry, and they had little babies at home. You follow me? And so they did what I would dare say that none of us even thought that they would do. They sold themselves into slavery. Did you know that? That the children of Israel, God's people, sold themselves into slavery. I'm not going to read the scripture for you. It's in Genesis chapter 47, verses 18 through 21, if you want to look it up. Okay? It got so bad, they said, we can't do it. It's too hard for us, so we're going to sell ourselves to you, Joseph, and to the Pharaoh, so that we will trust that you will take care of us. Now, this went great while Joseph was still around, because Joseph loved the people of Israel. But ultimately, Joseph died, a new king came along. He didn't give a rip about what Joseph had to say. And so what he decided to do was, well, since these people seem to be growing, what I'm going to do is I'm going to slave them even more to do hard labor, so that I can make sure that I have my thumb on the pulse of what's taking place, and so that I can dictate and I can control everything, and I'll get everything I want. Well, God wasn't going to let that happen to his people. And in the midst of intense, hard labor and slavery, God rose up a guy named Moses. And Moses would lead the people out of slavery. He would shepherd them for 40 years. And then he chose a guy by the power of the Holy Spirit, God speaking to him, by the name of Joshua, that would carry the people onto the place and fulfill the purpose that God had given them. Moses took the people to Moab. In Moab, Moses died, and Joshua is taking over, and that's where we are, in Joshua chapter 1. And this is what we're going to read. You ready for it? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Now, let's stop for just a second. You have to see this. Just because this may not be in leadership doesn't mean that God's not preparing you for leadership. Just because you don't see what you're doing in your life, maybe for that whatever reason, as important, doesn't mean that it's not important and God's not using it to set you up for where God has you and wants you to be. Don't let your situation fool you. You aren't what you do. Your significance isn't your job title. Your value isn't based on your level of employment. If there's anything I've learned in my life, in my tenureship in ministry, looking out over the scope of what God's people are doing, and it's this, listen to me, your role in the world doesn't determine your position in the kingdom. God doesn't look at what you do. He looks at who you are. Joshua wasn't chosen to be Moses' successor because he was the smartest. He wasn't chosen because he had the most potential. He wasn't chosen because he was the most liked. Listen to why he was chosen. It's in Numbers 27, verses 18 through 20. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man whom is of the Spirit. What does that mean? The reason that God chose Joshua was because he had a love for God, not because he had an important position within the economy of the Israelites. God chose Joshua because Joshua loved God. He was full of faith, and he wanted to be about God's plan and God's purpose. Listen to me, please hear this. If you want to gain status in the kingdom of God, it won't come from gaining roles in the world. It will come from your posture towards God. Mommies and daddies, please hear me with this. Your primary function as a parent isn't to teach your children to be great in the world. It's to teach your children to be faithful to God. We got to move on. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. What an incredible promise. I was thinking about this. God said, if you want it, then over there's the land. You just go get it. You go take it. It's yours. Church family, I want you to hear me say this. I believe that God has a similar promise for us as a people here. There is unclaimed land in our community that God is ready for us to go and take. Okay? I know we've been dwelling here, and I know we have our houses wherever they are, and I have no idea where your house is. And I know you have a window, hopefully, somewhere, okay? If you don't have windows in your house, please don't invite me over. Okay, I'm just telling you. I'll meet you at a restaurant. And you got windows in your house somewhere, and you look out your window, and you're seeing all this land out here. And I just want you to know, God had made a plan, and he told the children of Israel, everything you see, it's yours if you want to go get it. And God is looking to us as a people, and I want you to know that he's saying to us, everything you see, if you want it to be under my reign and my rule and under my leadership, if you'll just go out the door and get it, then I will give it to you. It's yours. I don't know if you live in Hollister. I don't know if you live in Branson. I don't know if you live in Forsyth, Saddlebrook, Blue Eye. Where are you from? Tell me. Where? Say somewhere I didn't say already, okay? Ridgedale, there you go, huh? Oh, Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome. You came a long way, huh? If you want it, then listen to me. Go and get it. Our mission that God gave our church to accomplish, not to think about, not to wish about, not to hope for, but to accomplish, is to fulfill the Great Commission by advancing the gospel first in our own community and then to the rest of the world. I just want to remind you of what the Great Commission is, because I don't want us to ever forget what our mission as a church is, which again is to fulfill the Great Commission by advancing the gospel here and to the end of the world. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this, therefore, well, back up. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus talking. He says, therefore, go get out, go get it, okay? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is saying, everything you see, I have authority over. And I know that for some of us, we look out and we say, well, this is an unclaimed land. There's people there. Can I tell you something that's really interesting? The promised land that God gave the children of Israel, there were people there. Some of them were scared because when they looked out, they saw people. And they thought, well, what's it going to be like when I walk and tell them that they're Jesus's, they're God's? And so they were fearful. And some of them didn't move forward. Matter of fact, some of the spies said, we can't go there, because they were so scared of the people that were in the community. But Joshua said, I see a people not to be scared of, but to go get. And I want you to hear me say this to us, is that when we look at our community, let's look at our community as a people that we can go get. Everything you see is yours for the taking. He looked at Joshua and said, hey, that's their land. This is your territory, and it's going to extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Now remember, there's people in the land already that they're about to go get. And God is saying to them, hey, don't worry about all these people that you see out in front of you that may be scary and may be looking like giants. No one is going to stand against you. Listen to me. Just because we're in God's will doesn't mean that we won't face opposition in hard times. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. You decided to make a stand for Jesus and things got harder. Right? You decided to trust Jesus and things got tougher. You decided to leave your bad friends and now you're struggling making good friends. God is not saying to Joshua that there wouldn't be some difficulties ahead. God isn't saying here to us that we won't have to make tough decisions and undergo tough situations in our life. God is saying, though, some may come against you, but they can't stand against you. Just because they get at you doesn't mean they're going to get to stay at you. Listen to me. If you are with God, you are in Christ. And Paul talks a lot about being in Christ. And matter of fact, if there's anything that we know about being in Christ, we can see what Paul says to the church at Philippi. We can look at what he said at the church at Rome. We can look and see what John said at the end times in the church of Revelation. And he says this, every knee will bow at Jesus. And so one thing that we need to understand, yeah, you can clap for that, is that when we move forward into our community, we may see some people. Some people may not like what we may be doing. Some people may not like the mission that we're on and the words that we say that we're in part of and who we say that we're under the authority of. But I can tell you this, we can overcome anything because Jesus Christ overcame everything. And what's our problem is no longer just our problem. If we're in Christ, it's now God's problem. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. God said, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I just want to He was talking, remember, to Joshua. And I was thinking about this because I told you earlier when it started that ministry can be tough. There's a lot of pressure in ministry. There's been a lot of great godly men that hasn't finished the race, not because they weren't great godly men, it's just they couldn't handle the pressure. And there's a lot of pressure. And I was thinking about Joshua and the words of comfort that he must have felt when God said, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Joshua was the successor to Moses. Moses is, I don't know if you realize this, maybe you do. Moses is generally known as like the greatest leader in the Old Testament. He's generally known as maybe even the greatest leader in the Bible outside of Jesus. And now Joshua is gearing up to follow the legend. You hear what I'm saying? The legend. Moses. And I'm sure that Joshua had some fears because he was going to be filling some really big shoes. The people were used to Moses leading them for 40 years, how he hugged them, how he preached to them, how he talked to them, how he maybe even disciplined them from time to time. We know he had to do that. How he chose leadership. How we move forward, the people were accustomed to Moses. And I bet it just freaked Joshua out. I wonder if Joshua if he felt the pressure that some of the people may have had an expectation for him to be a younger Moses. I wonder if Joshua was already even thinking, do I need to become someone that I'm not? Because the truth is, Joshua was very different than Moses. He was very different. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. We're all very different. God needed Moses to get the people to Moab, but Joshua needed to take the people to the promised land. And this didn't mean that Joshua and Moses were better or better than each other. It didn't mean that Moses was better than Joshua, Joshua was better than Moses. It just means that, listen, each of them had a role. And each of us has a role in the kingdom of God that looks different and is needed so we can all get to the place that we need to be. And I just want to simply ask you, do you know your role? We all have a role. Pastor Dennis is incredible. He's the legend. I'm following a legend. And can I tell you, I have some fears myself. Expectations, what that's really going to look like. And what took place right before this message touched me so deeply. Thank you so much. But I want you to understand that the only way that as a church we can really make the difference that we want to make is not just simply by me doing my thing. It's not going to be just simply because Dennis has done his thing and he and Marsha continue to do their thing. It's because we do our thing. And each of us together, with the strength of unity that Jesus Christ prayed for in John chapter 17, rallying together to underscore the mission that God has given us and us advancing forward. What I want you to see, this is what God was beginning to lay out before Joshua, is that, yeah, Joshua was going to do some incredible things, okay? And he did. He did. But I believe that God wanted Joshua to understand that the things that they were going to experience was not because of Joshua, it was because of God. We're going to see some incredible things here. I believe we're going to see lives redeemed. We're going to see marriages restored. I believe I'm praying for families to be in greater unity than they've ever been. I believe we're going to take land in this place that we never dreamed about taking. We didn't even know was possible. And if that's the kind of mission and that's the kind of church you want to be a part of, then you're in the right place. But I need you to hear me say this. The victories we see, the life change we experience, is it going to become because of a great pastor? It's not even going to come because of a great people. The victories we see, the life change we experience is all going to be because of a great God. Yeah. It may come through us, but it's only made possible by him. There were two things that Joshua needed to do to fulfill God's purpose for himself so that the people of God could experience the plan for them. We're going to talk about one of them, not both of them. There were two things. And again, we're just going to talk about one of them. But this is what God told Joshua. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous, verse 6. You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I've done a lot of research about successful leaders. Matter of fact, just as if you ever want to be bored out of your mind and go to sleep fast, I wrote my doctoral dissertation on successful leaders and their teams. That's what I did. I've done a lot of research on successful leaders, successful pastors in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, as well as just in our current society now. And I want you to understand, one of the things that I've found about successful leaders is they all have this in common. They were courageous, and they were surrounded by courageous people. They were courageous, and they were surrounded by courageous people. It wasn't the most gifted people, but listen, the most courageous people that accomplished the greatest events in Scripture. Think about this. God didn't tell Joshua, go get gifted or go be anointed. God didn't tell Joshua, go back to school. You need an advanced degree before you can do that. God didn't say to Joshua, hey, look, brother, woo, you got a lot of baggage in your life. go get rid of some of that baggage, and then maybe I can use you. God didn't say that to him. He said, go be strong and courageous. I was thinking about other people in Scripture. Abraham, you know, I guess he was a professional trail walker. I don't know. He didn't have to go get a degree. He just had to go out and start walking. He had to be courageous. He didn't know where he was going. All he knew is that God had told him to go. And it didn't make sense, but he said, here I go. He was courageous. David, the King David. He defeated Goliath. It wasn't because he was a great military commander. He wasn't even in the military, but he was courageous. Jesus, this whole thing's about Jesus. The reason we're looking at this message series is so we can become more like Jesus. And I was thinking about Jesus and this, you know, we look at Jesus and Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. And some people say, hey, you know what? That was the greatest picture of love he could have done, and it was. But you know what it also was? It was the greatest picture of courage. Because it wasn't too long before that, he said, Lord, if I don't have to do this, don't let me do it. Matter of fact, he died on the cross for our sins for a plan, listen to this, that he didn't know everything about. Matter of fact, this is how I know that. He still didn't know when he's going to come back to get us. But he trusted his Father. He had faith in God that although he may not have all the pieces of the puzzle, although he may not have understood everything that was going to take place, he didn't know what was going to happen. He was convinced that God was with him, that God was for him, and that God would raise him up. And I want you to understand right now that if there's anything you hear from me, God is with you, he is for you, and just like Jesus, he will raise you up. If Jesus needed courage to fulfill his purpose, and I want you to understand right now, you will too. We will too. I will too. I will too. It doesn't matter how gifted you are if you don't have the courage to use your gift. It doesn't matter how capable you are if you don't have the courage to execute the plan. Listen, when purpose isn't accomplished, it's because courage wasn't used. You see, courage is the way that faith expresses itself. I wonder what God's been preparing you for the children of Israel to experience the next season of their life. They were going to have to deal with and walk in and hold on to some courage. If you're going to, and God has for us, we're going to have to live out our courage. I wonder what God's been preparing you for. It's going to take courage. I wonder what you need to walk away from. It's going to take courage. I wonder what's next for you. It's going to take courage. If we want to experience everything that God has, if we want to fulfill the purpose that God has given us, it's going to take courage. And church, I want you to know I'm ready to be courageous. Are you? Let's pray together. Lord, you're so good. Oh, my. Oh, my, Lord. You're so good and you're so gracious. Father, I believe that some of us are scared because we don't know all the plan. We have a new leader, which is me, and Lord, I don't even know all the plan. But Lord, I know that you're good, and I know you're gracious, and you're merciful, and you are for us, and you are with us, and God, you've got us, and you tell us, hey, if you want to experience everything that you have for us, that we just have to go out and get it and take it and receive it. And so, God, I know that there's some fearful people here because, Lord, I know I'm fearful. But, Lord, we don't have to be. We can be strong and we can be courageous. God, I don't know what season you're calling us into. I don't know what thing you're calling us away from. I don't know what mindset we may need to have, but Lord, I know that for some of us, the way that we move into it is going to be because we trust you, we believe you, and we're going to let our courage carry us forward, even though we may not know what's coming next. And God, I thank you for your courage that you give us. You are our strength when we are weak. You are our courage when we are not. And so God, I pray right now that you would just cover us in this place. God, would you move in this place right now? Church, I believe that some of us have come and we know good and well that we've never lived our life courageously following Jesus Christ. We've come maybe before, and we've maybe even gone to church. We've heard about Jesus, and we've said, yeah, I know you, or yeah, maybe even, yeah, I trust you and believe you. But we never really have let that come into our heart, and we move forward courageously with you. Lord, you tell us that faith without works is dead. So some of us have said things, but our actions have proven we didn't really mean it. And so, God, I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as you're moving in this place, that even our courage within us to trust you as our Lord and Savior will rise. And so, church, I'm going to ask you with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you know you've never went all in with Jesus, you've never walking forward in courage to follow him all the days of your life, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you know that today is the day that you're going to move out of complacency and live courageously forward, at the count of three, if that's the day for you, will you raise your hand? One, two, three. Raise your hand. One, two. Keep your head bowed. One, three, four, five, six. Listen to me. I want you to understand this. Seven, eight. As we move forward courageously with God, you can put your hands down. As we move forward courageously with God, he will move forward with us, overcoming everything that we've ever been fearful of. We can overcome because of Jesus Christ, who is with us and that we are in, who loves us and is for us and is for our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen, church? Go in peace today. Go get it.
You're by my side.